God, we just thank you this morning that we have the freedom to come and worship you and to meet with you. And we ask that you would just anoint your word and that you would open our ears and our understanding to just own these foundational truths and principles that you've set out for us. And we just want you to have your way here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to talk about tithing this morning. Technically, this was supposed to be Dudley's sermon, but somehow I got stuck with it, so I didn't steal it. So he handed out outlines, so just so you guys would have, like, you know where I'm going. But first off is, what's a tithe? For anybody who doesn't know, it is a tenth of our income, our increase. And I only put a few verses for each thing, but I have, like, an entire email full of verses that Dad had sent me to help out when I was getting this together, so I have so many verses. If you want more, I can email them, you know, later. So, anyways, let's turn Leviticus 27:32. It says, "And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Also over in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 28, it tells you that it's a tenth. And in Genesis 28, that's the first time that I know that tithing was mentioned in the Bible. And it's Abraham, he gave a tenth unto the priest, Melchizedek. So that's the tenth off the top of what we get. We tithe off the gross. Some people tithe off the net, and then they tithe off their tax return when they get it. But we tithe off the gross, so that way we know that God is getting 10% of our first fruits, because he wants, that's what he wants. He wants us to be, it's a sign of faith to just be giving him off that, whether we feel like we can afford it or not. It's a sign of our faith that we are giving him first before we try and pay people or even get our groceries or whatever. He comes first. So, number two, why do we tithe? Right there in chapter 27 of Leviticus, where go up to verse 30. That's a typo. It's not supposed to be 32. Verse 30. It says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Look in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings." Because they weren't giving them. People weren't giving them. God said, we are robbing him if we do not tithe. We are actually stealing from him. Which, there's a verse in the Bible that says, if you steal, and if a thief steals and is caught, he has to return sevenfold. So God's always watching, so he catches us every time we steal from him, and then we owe him sevenfold. But it's all his to start with. I mean, you know, without him, we don't have anything. So we really need to give him back that 10%. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Says, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So will your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine." Honor the Lord with all your substance. I don't think that he just means your money. I think he means with all your substance. Substance is what is existence. So with all your existence, he wants a tenth of our time. The first fruits. He wants that top. Not when we're so tired we can't even focus anymore or think, but when we are at our freshest, when we're at our ability to actually communicate with him. For some of us, that is nighttime. I'm more awake at night, evening, than I am in the morning, because I'm not a morning person. But when we're most able to receive and communicate and get into the word, he wants that time with us. He wants fellowship, you know? He wants a tenth of our money. He wants a tenth of our what we're doing with our children. He wants the focus to be Him. He wants Himself to be first in our life and honored. Not just, fine, here's my money. God, He demanded it, so I guess I'm going to. No. There's a verse, I didn't write it, but God loves a cheerful giver. Reference? 2 Corinthians 9. Around verse 6 or something. But God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us to just grudgingly do what He said. Fine, I'm going to give you my money, but I'm not happy about it. And I can't believe I have to do this. You know, if I ask one of my children to do something and they go, fine, I guess I will. That's not good with me, you know. I'm telling them, no, kick out the bad attitudes. With a cheerful attitude, let's go do what we need to do. You're going to do it anyways. So you might as well be cheerful about it and be, you know, smiling. And why? Because then inside of you, you're blessed. When we're cheerful, when we choose, okay, God, I'm going to give you this money, and I don't know how you're going to meet the other bills, but you're going to. So here you go. Here's my money, and I'm cheerful about it. That blesses Him. That just blesses Him. So we need to do that. Let's turn to Matthew 23:23, because a lot of people think that tithing is just an Old Testament thing and Jesus came to do away with the law, and that is not so. Jesus was talking here and He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other." So the Pharisees, they were religiously tithing, but they were ignoring the law. They were ignoring the heart of the law. And Jesus rebuked them for that. But He didn't say, you should be loving and forget tithe. He said, you should also tithe. Look at Matthew 5, verse 17. I'm just showing you that just because Jesus came and fulfilled the law, He didn't do away with it. And He didn't, then it didn't excuse us from tithing and obeying that law from the Old Testament. Verse 17 says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So that's what He came to do, to fulfill it and to teach us what the heart of the law was. He taught us, He held us to a higher standard of accountability, as a matter of fact. It wasn't just obey these commandments, but it was love your neighbor. As you think in your heart, so are you. You're not only to tithe, but you're to be cheerful about it. You're to have a good attitude. You're not just just tithe. Now you also need to give above your tithe and bless the church and be here. You know, it was more than just give your money. He went into the matter of the heart with things. So we can't say, well, that's an Old Testament law and we can just do away with that because Jesus came. That is not why He came. And He is showing that that's still a commandment for today that we need to follow if we want to see Him work in our life, in our finances. It's our proving that we trust God. We trust God with our finances. We trust God with our life. That we really believe Him when He says what we're supposed to do. That we really have made Him our authority. That we've made Him our Lord. If my father tells me to do something, if He's really my authority in my life, I'm going to do it. Or there are going to be consequences. You know? If I tell my children to do something, I'm the one who speaks into what they need to do. They need to obey me. Because it's the rules. It's the law. You know? But it's also that they're learning that they can trust me, that what I'm doing is for them. It's for their good. I'm training them. I'm teaching them. I'm trying to bring them into who God's created them to be. Well, God is trying to bring us into who He has created us to be. And tithing is part of that. It's teaching us to what we're supposed to do with our money, the structure of God first. It's teaching us that principle of God first. And if He can get Himself first in our money, He can probably get Himself first in just about anything, because we have a hard time letting go of our money. So that's why it's really important that we do this. We also need, another reason that we tithe is to support our local church. If you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 45. This is talking about the way that the early church met, and it says they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. That's what they brought all. They sold everything they had and they brought it into the church. They went beyond tithing. They just owned nothing, and they brought it into the church, and it was distributed to the body. So those funds that were brought in were used to meet the needs of the body. Matthew 22. Verse 21. It said, the second part, it says, then said he unto them, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Well, where do we find God's things? Is in the body. We find that here. That's where they took their money at the time. And you took Caesar, you take that to the tax, to the government. That's Caesar's place. That's the government's place. And God's place is in the church, in the body. That's where it's supposed to come to. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Verse 25. Says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be here in the body, in church. We are to be a functioning body. And how do we function if we aren't meeting our needs? How do we meet if there's no place? How can we be a functioning body if someone is needing and we're not meeting that need? We're just going, yeah, well, my money's going over here to this preacher that's cross seas because he's going to give it to someone else. No, we need to meet the needs here in our body first. The tithe comes here to our body to meet our local needs. That'd be like me saying, I'm not buying groceries for my family. I'm going to buy groceries for all these other people, and my kids are going to starve. God would not be pleased with that. First, I feed my family, and then I can feed someone else's. Well, first we need to meet the needs in this body with our tithes. And then we can give above that if we want to help somebody else, if we want to give to missions, if we, you know, want to give to Israel, whatever we want to give to, that's awesome. But first, the tithe is for our local body. It's not to be sent off to some other ministry. The tithe comes to home, to your local church. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35. Says, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. If you read on into verse 36, as it goes, talking about bringing their cattle, the firstborn of their sons, their flocks, unto the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. Verse 37 again says, to the chambers of the house of our God. And the tithes of our ground unto the Levites who lived in the temple. So God specifically, he was making that point that it comes to the church, the local church, your home body. Because the Levites that lived there, their everything was provided through what was brought to the church. That's where they lived. They didn't go out and work a job or do anything else. That was how that was brought. So if everybody had said, well, I don't want to give it here, I want to go over here, and I see somebody over there, and I'm just going to designate my tithe all these other places. Who was meeting the needs of the Levites that were living before God for the people? Wouldn't have happened. So God had to specify that we bring it to his house, to the local body, and that's where our tithes should go. So, and then the exciting part, what is God's response when we tithe? What does he promise? This is a conditional command. He gives us, it's a conditional thing, like, I'm going to do this. If you do this, then I will do this. God has a response when we tithe. Turn to Malachi again, chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." He doesn't just promise to bless you. He promises to abundantly bless you. Because it excites him when we trust him, and it excites him when we obey him. So he doesn't just say, "So I'll give you something back and you'll be blessed." Come and test me with this. This is like something, you know, how often does God say, "Test me, come and try me"? But he does with this because he knows it is really hard for people to let go of their money. It is really hard, especially when you feel like you live paycheck to paycheck. It is really hard to give that 10% and go, "But I don't see enough here left to make these bills that I know are due. And okay, I trust you, God, I'm going to give it." So he says, "Try me with that. Tithe, give me that 10%, and see if I won't just open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing on you, you won't even have room to take it all in." That's pretty awesome. And it doesn't only mean that he's going to rain money on you. It means he's going to bless you so much that you can't take it all in. He'll meet your needs. Maybe he'll pay your bills a different way than you getting more money. Maybe he's going to just bless you so much that you're in his presence. He will bless you. Often he blesses you back financially. Your needs are met. But there comes a point where you hit a maturity level where he says, "I've done that. I've made the bills every week and you've not missed the bill. But I want to do something different and stretch your character now. And we're going to do something different. And I might not meet this bill, but I'm still blessing you. I am still watching out for you. You have meals, don't you? You have a place to sleep. You have my presence. You have love. I am blessing you. How can you complain? How can we complain because our bill didn't get met on time when we have all that we have? The fact that I'm alive means God has already blessed me more than I deserve. So anything beyond breath is an abundant blessing." But that he promises that. For anyone who's not been tithing, he is daring you. He's inviting you to test him. And watch what he'll do with that 90% that you have left. That more than you could have done with the 100. Absolutely. Don't rob God. We really need to not rob him. Look at Ezekiel chapter 44. Verse 30. Ezekiel 44:30. It says, "And the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest's. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in your house." I think that's funny. They're talking about bread, but we call money dough, so that's pretty funny. It's like, you know, reiterating it, give your money to Jesus. Why did you do it? So that he can cause the blessing to rest in your house. Which means that if we don't tithe, we are basically tying God's hands and saying, "You cannot bless me." We are actually refusing his blessing when we don't obey this commandment. That's what it says there. That he may cause the blessing to rest in your house. So if we don't do it, he cannot cause blessing to rest in our house. And then, beyond our tithe, we need to give offerings. That's something beyond the 10%. And that nobody can tell you, you need to give this much, you have to do that. That's what is above and beyond, when you see, "Oh, I see this need in somebody and I want to give that. Oh, my heart is for missions. My heart is for this place." Above. That's above the 10%. And we cannot outgive God. Some of us say, "Well, I'm going to give my 10%. That's it. Nothing else. I've done my duty." But you can't outgive God. Okay, you gave your 10%. God's going to bless you. You've released him to bless you. That's great. Step even further. "God, help me to see the needs. How can I give more? What else can I give? Not even just money. Money, yes, but not just money. Somebody needs a coat. Get them a coat. Maybe you have an extra one. Give it to them. Give above that tithe. You cannot outgive God." Look in Mark chapter 12. it excites him when we give, because God is a giver. That is a characteristic of God. So when he sees us moving in a way where we're happy and wanting to bless other people, he gets all excited because he's like, look, I can see myself inside of you. You're doing it. You're like letting me live through you. And he gets so excited. And then he wants to pour it back on you. Have you ever given somebody a gift, you know, just whether it was for an occasion or not, you just give them something and you're so excited to give it to them, you know? And you wrap it up and you're just like, my mom is a giver. She can't wait for occasions. She buys something and she can't wait for your birthday, even if it's 6 months away. She's so excited to give it to you. She just has to give it to you now. You know, she's so excited. But have you ever given that gift to somebody? You're so excited and they open it up and they're like, thanks. It's like instant deflation. You know, you're going, kind of bummed I even gave it to you. I mean, you know how much of myself I put into that gift? I wrapped it. I bought, man, I was thinking about, it's because we put ourselves into that. I was thinking about you and I wanted to give to you and you don't even care. And then there's people, you give them the gift and they're like, oh, I just love it. And they look it over and they're so excited and they thank you 100 times. And maybe it was something really small, but they are so appreciative of it. Well, God is like that when we give. When he sees us giving. Because remember the verse that was brought up in the sermon last week about what you do to the least of these, you've done to Jesus. Right? That's what he said to them. So when we give something, and God sees the need. Oh, man, that person, they don't have a coat, and it's really cold outside. And I want them to have a coat. And he puts that inside of us. And when we grab a hold of it and go, oh, they need a coat. I really want them to have a coat. I'm going to get them a coat. He gets so excited because we've grabbed onto that characteristic of his. And we're giving to this person. And it's just like we're giving it to Jesus. And he is so excited. And he's like, I want to give you something. And he just gets bubbled up with his excitement. And just, he's so pleased with us. And he wants to pour blessings on us. You can't outgive him. Try it. There's no way you can outgive. I tried that with my sister once. She's like that. She's a giver too, Jamie. And we used to live real close to each other. So I'd buy her a little something and I'd sit it on her counter and be there when she'd get home from work. Next day, she'd be buying me something else. And I'm going, oh, man, all right, I'm going to do it. So I'd find something else she'd want and I'd do that for her and clean her house or do something, trying to like outgive Jamie, you know? And we had this battle going for a long time. And it was like, you know, you just can't outgive God. Jamie and I, we're not going to win, you know? And it's like, because you love to give, and the person was so excited about receiving it and appreciating your thought. And that's God. He appreciates when we want to bless people. Because he's seeing his character being built inside of us. Instead of us sitting there going, well, what do I get? When's it my turn? How come nobody's given anything to me? You know what? Stop thinking about yourself. Find what somebody else needs, and you'll discover that you're way happier when you're finding a way to meet someone else's needs and bless them and bring a smile to their face than you are when you're worried about somebody making you smile. You'll forget about that, and you'll just focus on them. Much more satisfying. Mark 12, verse 41. Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which maketh a farthing. And he called unto him the disciples, and said, Verily or truly I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. He was, because she gave above. She gave all she had. That farthing probably wasn't going to buy her much or do much for her. And because she had God's character inside of her, she would rather just give that all and let him take care of her. And he was so pleased. She was more blessed than those that had so much, and I'll just throw in some. You can't outgive God. You want to see God's blessing in your life? You want to see that abundance? And I'm not just talking money, because you know what? Where your heart is, there is your treasure. And when we go to heaven, we're not taking it with us. I can't take my house. I can't take a car. What I can take is Jesus. That's what I have. I have the character that He's built inside of me. I have the love. I have the relationships that I've built. I have my loved ones who I've told about Jesus, who have come to know Him. I have that when I go to heaven. That's our treasure, the relationship with Jesus and the relationship with others, not our money. So let's not rob God. Let's give it to Him and watch Him bless us and see how we just can't outgive Him. But let's try, you know? Sounds like fun to me. You want me to read Luke 6? All right, Luke 6. One more. Verse 38. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." That's really awesome. I'm glad you said that. Because not only will God bless you, but it says men are going to give into your bosom. That's awesome. That's saying that as you're giving, because we're giving more than money, right? We're giving love. When we let God flow through us and we give love, even just a hug or a kind word, it's like we're sowing that, we will reap that. Not only from God, but from people. We'll find that. People are flocking to us with love because we are giving love. Because we're letting God flow.